that we're even actually having a service and a conversation about the possibility of a new building. And that's come about because of continued growth in the life of Oakley Community Church. And very early on from when Oakley was planted, we received numerous words. One of the very first words that we were given as we were sent out as a team was the word from Ezra. And it said and it was all about the first exiles returning to begin to rebuild the temple and the town of Jerusalem. But in doing that, there was lots of opposition and they were discouraged along the way. And the word for the team at the time was that we likewise, in a sense, are being called to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem. The temple being the former Oakley Chapel, which was the building that we currently inhabit down the road, and had sadly closed down over the years because the congregation had dwindled and ceased to exist. And we came in, and the word for us was it was to rebuild the temple and the gates of, and the town of Jerusalem, as it were. But we too would acquire opposition and discouragement, but we're to remind each other and draw strength from the fact that God has called us back, and that God, and to draw strength from the fact that he is with us and he will build his temple. And then we had another word more recently, which actually was my reading yesterday, surprisingly enough, from 2 Kings 4, when there was the woman with her two sons, and they needed jars of oil in which to survive, and they kept collecting jars of oil, empty jars from all their neighbours. And as they brought empty jars, the Lord filled them with oil. And as more and more jars came, more and more oil filled the jars. And the oil only stopped flowing when there were no more jars to fill. And we felt that the Lord was saying then that we need a bigger jar. We need a bigger jar for the oil of his church to fill in. And the bigger the jar, the more oil he'll fill in. And we've seen that repeatedly as we've expanded as far as we're able to, trying to give more space to our congregation. We've seen the Lord fill it up each time. And even in the school here, we've seen already that it's becoming very, very cramped as the months have gone by. And the word for that was that we felt that we mustn't limit God's blessing by lack of faith, that God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, and that we're to think big, and that he will fill the space in the same way that he filled the jars for the widows. And similarly, a word just more recently, about 5 years ago, not by a member but somebody else, we were given a word saying that they had a picture of a goldfish bowl, and that there was a small goldfish swimming round and round in the goldfish bowl. But then when the goldfish was taken out and placed in a larger pool, that the fish grew to fit the size of the pool. And we felt that was another word for us as a church, that we felt we needed to extend the physical space to enable the Lord to continue to grow his church. And the church is about people. So ultimately today, we are talking about buildings, but the church is the people. So we're just looking for a building to house the church, the people of God. The building is just another tool for evangelism. It's just another tool for us to use for our local and daily ministries. So I'm conscious of the fact that many of you will not be aware of how Oakley started. I just want to give you a very, very, very short, abridged version of how Oakley was planted. As I said, Oakley Chapel was a Brethren church for many years. It did a fantastic work in the community, had a thriving kids and youth work, and many, many elderly people that I've spoken to in the area said, we used to go to Sunday school at Oakley Chapel all those years ago. So Oakley had a major role to play in the community for many years. But then sadly, as I said earlier, as the years went by, the ministry dwindled and the congregation died out. And the church was touted out to see if anybody else wanted to attempt to plant and rekindle the work there. Otherwise, it was going to get sold off. And it was offered to St. Barnabas. St. Barnabas at that time were not looking to plant another church. They had no church planting strategy. They had just come off the back of a disastrous church plant a few years previously, whereby they sent out their very best people. They sent out about a team of 40 with a clergy person, fully paid up clergy person, experienced missionaries, worship leaders, kids workers, etc., etc. A fantastic team of very highly gifted people, fully funded, and it ended up in disaster. And they were still reeling from that pain. So they were in a position. However, there was a sense that this was something from God. But the question was, who will we send? How will we do it? And because there was no church planting strategy, because there was no plan, it was done in a very slapdash way, which we would never dream or imagine of doing nowadays. And a team of myself and 15 others were quickly gathered together, and we were sent out within 6 months of hearing about the building, within 6 months, and we were gone within 6 months out to plant Oakley. None of us had any experience of church planting. None of us had any major responsibilities in terms of leadership or ministries at St. Barnabas. It wasn't like the previous team that was sent out. We had no money. We were given no money. I had to work alongside planting Oakley, and then as well as further down the line, whilst I was training for ministry, I had to train for ministry, work to support myself, plant and lead Oakley all at the same time. Completely the opposite of the original plant that they sent out and how they do church planting today, where they send you out with a fully paid up clergyman with experience, etc., etc. So it was a project that should have failed. And in fact, many people said that it wouldn't last 6 months. And in fact, the vicar at the time was reprimanded for his recklessness in sending out such an inexperienced and raw team in such a slapdash way. But because the Lord was in it, Oakley survived, and Oakley began to grow, and we grew with convert growth. Where all our growth came from converts, not transfer growth, which was wonderful, which was amazing. And the Lord continued to bless us. We didn't take offerings because we didn't want people to think it was about money. For 2 years, we never even took an offering at Oakley. We just trusted that the Lord would just continue to supply our needs. And whilst the Oakley building now is in dire need of spending money on, even as it is, in decoration, when we first took the building over, it was in a far, far worse state than you see it now, trust me. It had old fan heaters that just made loads of noise during the service. It had peeled up asbestos tiling, which was ripped up and all over the place. It was horrendous. So the way you see it now actually is vastly improved, even though it still needs an awful lot of work doing. But the Lord blessed us. And then we added porter cabins at the back for kids' work. Then we added another side porter cabin. And then we added a youth block at the back, and so on and so on. So to the point where we are now, where you can't read that, but this will be in your pack. You've all have received the pack to take home and read at your leisure, where you can't see that. But all the stuff there now, all the ministries and activities that are now going on at Oakley on a weekly, monthly, yearly basis. So all of that is going on from originally absolutely nothing, just an empty building. That's in your pack. You'll be able to see that when you get home. So it's wonderful when you look at it in black and white, how the Lord has blessed us and what the Lord has been doing through us and with us over the years in reaching many people for Jesus, in supplying numerous ministries to connect with our community. So where do we want to be as a church now? What is our vision? What do we hope? What do we aspire to be? Well, we want to be, our vision is to be a resource church. What that means, what I mean by that, is a church that grows and then plants out. and for us to give our best away. Unlike the way that we, the original team, were sent out, we don't want to do it like that because we know what that's like, and we know the pain and the hardship. It's hard enough as it is, church planting, let alone being sent out without any funding and without any support whatsoever, just being dropped, parachuted in, as it were, and then just left to your own resources. It was a real sink or swim scenario for us. And we don't want that when we start church planting. Our prayer is that if God grows us and God brings the growth, not us, then once we outgrow our existing buildings and sites, then we want to plant out. We're already looking at various possible sites for church planting, North London Business Park, Potter's Bar being another one, and so on and so on. And our vision is to plant out, to give away our best people, to fund them, and to be there as a resource for them as and when they need us in any way, until they're able to support themselves and move forward. And then if the Lord blesses us, as and when the Lord blesses us and replenishes all those people that we've sent out, once he's done that, then we'll send out another lot and they plant another church. So that's the plan. Our plan is not to be a super church of thousands and thousands of people. We're called to be a community church that once the Lord has grown us to a significant size, then we send out another team, give our best people away. We just want to give our best away, not make do. Give our best away and fully fund all that stuff. Why do we need more space? Well, the building that we have is no longer fit for purpose. We've outgrown the building. That's why we're meeting in the school. And it's a wonderful challenge to have. That's happened because God has blessed us. That is a positive thing. We cannot probably now, since moving out of the church building, probably we cannot physically fit back into the building now. We've outgrown that building. We can fit in, but we'll be like sardines since we've moved to the school. So the new building will provide us with a bigger auditorium, a 200-seater auditorium. It'll provide us with more auxiliary halls for kids, youth, and various activities throughout the week for community use. We want the building to be used every single day and evening for community use and outreaches and purposes. We're going to have a community cafe. At the moment, we do what we call coffee run, but in addition to that, we'll have a community cafe there, like a drop-in centre. We want to have office space for future staff teams to work on site, and also to have a daily presence in the building on site. So a new building will give us all of those things, and it will help us to become a local hub, community hub centre for our area. There's no real sort of gathering or hub centre in the sort of Oakley area. It's sort of, you've got a little sort of shopping parades either side, but there's no sort of local gathering place, and we want that to be the local gathering place for the community with all the stuff that will be going on there. The other reason why we're looking to do a building project and development is that it makes complete financial sense to do that. We have to rent the school here, so the school rental here, they do us a very good deal, but even with that, it still costs us about £10,000 a year to rent this space. Now, if we were to move on, we're already beginning to outgrow this space. So if we were to then go to two morning services in order to accommodate the growth, if we continued here at the school, then that would mean we would have to spend extra time here, which will double the rent. So the rent will then be £20,000 a year if we expanded to two services, and then before we plant it out. So if you work that out over a period of 20 years, that's about £400,000 in rent that we would have paid just to have this space. And we have the inconvenience of setting up, setting down, and not being able to have various other conveniences that come from having your own building. So that £400,000 almost pays, over 20 years, almost pays for phase one of the building project that we're going to look at in a moment. So it makes perfect financial sense in the long term to have a building project, because we have to meet somewhere, and wherever we meet, it's going to cost us. And in addition to that, we also, even if we don't have a building project, we still have to sort out our existing, we have to spend thousands on our existing building anyway in order to bring it up to scratch. We need to update the toilets, we need disabled facilities and so on and so on. So we're still going to have to spend thousands of pounds. The roof's leaking this week, we're going to have to spend almost £1,000 just to fix a roof that we'll probably have to rip, we're going to have to tear down probably later anyway. So we're going to have to spend thousands on the building anyway. So it makes financial sense. We need bigger space. We've outgrown the building. It's no longer fit for purpose, and it makes perfect sense. We've looked at other alternatives. In case you say, well, what else have we looked? Have we looked at other alternatives instead of trying to spend all this money? We have, and each time we keep coming back to the fact that we feel that the Lord is saying, I've given you that space, I've given you that position on the high road there, that is where I want you to be. But we've looked at the long-term possibility of meeting here in the school. We can do that, we can continue to meet here long-term, but as I said, there's a cost to that. And also we're at the mercy of the next head teacher or the governors who may not be look as favourably, hopefully they will, but they may not look upon us as favourably as the existing lovely people do. We're at the mercy, as it were, of them. We've looked at joining the URC church down the road there, but that is a no-go because our theology have major theological differences with them. We don't mind peripherals, but there are major theological differences there whereby that disqualifies us from being able to have union with them and be one church and just take over the building now. We've looked at having two services back at the building, the existing building. That could be a possibility. But as it currently is, it will always be restrictive. And then what happens when we want big gatherings, just all of us to be together for certain gatherings? We won't all, if we had two services then, we will never be able to meet as one family at any given time in a service because it just will be too small for us. So we have looked at other alternatives, but none of them have been suitable or cost-effective. Jane, can I ask you to the top left-hand button? Yeah, that's it. So I just want to show you the proposed scheme now as we stand, as we have it. Sorry. So ultimately, this is just the ultimate. Ultimately, we want to have a building that will extend sideways and also go up one story and maybe two stories. This is not the complete thing. This is just something for you to have an idea and maybe go two stories. So ultimately, is to have at least a 1 to 2 story building. And that's what it may sort of look like from the front. That'll be the side. As you can see, it's a whole new story. The upstairs will be like auxiliary halls. Offices, more toilets, etc. on the first floor. That will be phase two, what we're calling phase two, the first story. And we may even be able to add an attic story as well because our existing building is lower than our neighbours. So we may even be able to go up another story as an attic as well. So it may have a second one as well. And interestingly, crazy though it seemed, when we first moved to Oakley and we stood outside the building, when it was just a handful of us, and I said, I see a two-story building here one day that will fit 200 people. And here we are today, 18 years on, having this discussion. So that will be, at the moment, that's the existing porter cabins at the back. So phase two is the first floor and possibly the second floor. The existing porter cabins stay as they are during phase two. And then phase three will be, we'll knock down the porter cabins at the back, the existing halls, and build a proper purpose-built hall that will also be able to be used as one big hall, but will have dividing partitions to use as 4 separate individual halls as well. So we can have maximum use during the week for community use there. So it's one big hall, and then it can be divided up into four smaller ones. So that will be the complete. The phase one will be the auditorium. Then phase two is the first story, hopefully second story as well. Phase three will be the halls at the back there. And then that'll be what it will look like. Pretty much, not exactly like that, as I say. This is just to give you an idea. The front bit may be different, but that will be roughly what it would look like as church. That, you're talking around £2 million to do that, which is why we're not going for it right now. What we're focusing on now is this plan. This is what we're going for now. This is what today is all about. That is just to give you a view of the future. However, you know, if God somehow miraculously blesses us somehow with £2 million, then we'll go for the whole thing now. I don't have the faith for that right now. So we're going to phase it out in three phases. Auditorium, first floor, back halls there as phase three. Oops, sorry. And at the moment, what we're going for is this. This is the project that we're going for at the moment. So we're going to build to the side where the existing porter cabin, my office is, where the fence is. We're going to build to the side there, and we're going to build, come forward slightly to the front where the flower troughs are. We're going to come right up to the flower troughs, have a glass fronted front there. The layout inside, this is how it is now back at Oakley. So that's the meeting hall that we currently used to meet. That's the stage. So we come in through there. There's the gents' toilets there, the lobby, coffee station there, the PA system on the stilts there, which isn't showing. Then the stage at the front. This is the existing building. Then we've got the yellow room there, ladies' toilets and the kitchen, and then the kids' church and the youth porter cabin at the back. And what there now is what used to be my office. So that's the existing building as it stands. This is what we're looking to do now. This is what today is all about. This is what the fundraising for today is all about. This is the new layout. So now we've moved the kitchen to there. So you come in through the front doors and the kitchen will be there, be glass fronted there, as we saw in the picture earlier. That'll be the glass front. We'll have a counter there so we can serve folk from there. Possibly we may have a little counter there as well. We don't know. So that'll be the kitchen where the gents' toilets are currently now. That will be taken over. And all the toilets will then be moved at the back. So we'll have ladies, gents and disabled toilets where the ladies' toilets and the kitchen is currently now. So that's what that is. Yeah? We'll have time for questions later on, so store them up if you have any. And then we're going to knock out a throughway here, don't we, with the wall to the yellow room and the wall to, where is it, there, those two walls. We're going to knock out that wall, we're going to knock out that wall entirely, and then that will open the whole space up and make it all one space. There'll be a couple of pillars, obviously, supporting it. We're going to try and put those in the least place where they're least obstructive in terms of sight lines. We're going to move the stage where it used to be there. We're going to move it to there. And the seating will be there, there, as you can see, and then to the front. And the porter cabins remain the same because that's phase three. That's further down the line. This is phase one, which is what we need. This is our immediate need now. And then the yellow room, obviously we need more space. What do we do with the yellow room? Where's mini church going to meet? That's what that building is there. So we put the yellow room there and we'll have an internal entrance. They go through there into... It won't be quite as big as the yellow room, sadly, but hopefully it should be enough. And then we're going to have... He's put the storage there, but we're going to have a door here where the back of the church, where the stage is, a door there. And this bit here is going to be storage. So we'll be able to access storage internally from there because we need storage. So all this here will have a building that will just store stuff for parents and tods, bits and pieces, etc. So that's how it would look from the outside. Yeah? Cafe, that's the yellow room. And that's that design there. So that will be the new auditorium. It should fit 200 seats. It will still be tight because the footprint that we're in, whatever we do, is going to be tight. We're never going to have masses of space on the site that we are because it's just too restrictive. We're just trying to make use of everything that we can. And that fits in with the vision of a 200-seater auditorium. And the beauty of that, and before we were going to build the auditorium at the back. And to do that, we would have needed planning permission to do that. We would have needed to have soundproofed it because of our neighbours, which would have cost thousands. And we would have needed to have done traffic reports to the council, which would have cost thousands of pounds. By having the auditorium here, we do not need planning permission because it's all internal renovations. And we don't need soundproofing and we don't need traffic reports either because it's all internal renovations. What we'll need planning permission is for this, but we don't envisage that, any problems with that, because we've already got a building there anyway, and for extending out slightly there. And again, we don't envisage any problems because we're only coming level to the building line. We're not going over our building line. But we don't need planning permission for this section or soundproof, and that saves us thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds. So that's the plan. All of this you'll have in your packs for you to look. And this is what it will hopefully look like. So that's as you come in. There's the kitchen there. This will be glass, so people can, those sitting there can, it just gives a greater sense of space. We're going to have as much glass as possible everywhere. Glass, that's the kitchen, walking through there. Counter to be served teas, coffees, etc. Throughway to the porter cabins at the back, and then also ladies and gents and disabled toilets there, with the stage there and the seating, as you can see. That's looking at it from, that's the entrance coming in. So as you come in through there, to your left, that will be the stage. The cafe will be just here somewhere. So that's looking towards the stage, how it would look. And then that's looking from where, this is where the existing stage is now. So if you're sitting there, that's the existing stage there. So that's the view from there. The new stage, the entrance, the cafeteria. So that those will be the sight lines if you're sitting here. So as you can see, we've tried as far as possible to make it, to have sight lines accessible everywhere so everyone can see pretty much everywhere. There's a feeling of, you know, of oneness there. So you can see it's quite, pretty much everyone should have a sight line. There'll be one or two blind spots where if you're seated, you may not be able to see the rest of the congregation, but that's roughly what it will be, what it will be like. Right, okay. Let me just go back to that. So that, phase one, to do all that, what we're looking at there, we're looking at £500,000. What I didn't mention, also, with this, it's one big auditorium, but what we also want is to put soundproof partitions across there as well. So we're going to knock that wall down, as you know, but we're going to have soundproof partitions to enable us during the week, if we want two smaller halls, to enable us to have a hall here, a separate hall here, and a separate hall there. So it gives us one big meeting space when we want it, and it gives us two. If we can, we may even be able to, if we've got the money, we may even get soundproof partitioning to go there as well. So it will give us one, two, three smaller halls as well, more flexibility, which is what we're going to do when we build the back here, one big hall and then four smaller halls. So one big hall, certainly two smaller halls, and hopefully maybe more partition to have three halls. So that will cost £500,000, and that's what we're looking to raise now. Phase two and phase three can come as and when. You know, it may be the next batch of folk, you know, that will bring phase two into being. But we're building phase one, and the pillars, when they go in, They'll be designed to take a second, a first floor, another floor. So we're planning with phase two in mind. And then as and when further down the line, the money comes in, phase one can begin. So how's this going to happen? It's going to take sacrificial giving. We're not a massive congregation. We're not a wealthy congregation. I realise that. You know, we just have to look at the widow's mite, the principle that I've always worked with, both spiritually and in the physical sense, is that we give the Lord what we have, whether it be our gifts, whether it be our money, whatever little that we have to offer, we give him what we have. And then we trust God to just multiply that in a way that only he can. And that's what we're... that's the principle that we're looking at. But if you wanted some sort of, again, you've got this in your packs, but if you wanted to sort of see one way of perhaps how we can raise the half a million, is there's roughly about 120 adults in Oakley. So if one person out of the 120 gave 35, two people gave 25,000, three gave 15, seven gave 10,000, 15 gave 8,000, 20 gave 5, 30 gave 1,000. That says 300,000. It should be 30. Sorry, that's a mistake. It's 30,000. So 30 gave 1,000. And if 40 people gave 500, so that's a total of 120. If all of us gave in different amount, we'll all be in a different category there. Some of us may only give that, maybe even less than that, others that, others that, others that. But if we had that sort of model there, that would give us the half a million that we needed. So you'll have that in your packs just to have a look at when you go home. I'm not saying that's how it's going to be. We may have two or three people that can give us 35,000. I don't know. We may have more than two that will give us 25, more than four that have got 15, and so on and so on. That's just one way of looking at it. So it's going to take sacrificial giving. What would that look like? I don't know, it may mean that you had an extension plan for your house. I don't know, it may mean that you were going to have a new kitchen. It may be that you're planning that, I don't know, that luxury holiday that you've long waited for. It may be that you were planning to redecorate your house. you may want to say, well, instead of doing that, I'm going to give the money that I was going to use for that to... the building project. The plan is, the aim is for each one of us to seek the Lord on what he is asking you to give. We don't want any guilt trips here. We don't want anyone to get into debt. And in your packs, again, there'll be a little guide that will help you. It'll give you some ideas and plans about how to begin to pray and seek the Lord on what you should give towards the building, the building project. It will take sacrifice. It will take sacrifice. You know, there's no two ways about it. Half a million is no small amount for a church, for anyone, but particularly for a church of our size. And then once you've sought the Lord on what you're going to give, you'll find a pledge form in your packs as well. And what you can do with that, you don't have to give the money straight away, but when you know, maybe you can't release money straight away, it may be, you know, not for another month, 2 months, I don't know. But what you do then, once you recognise what it is you want to give, you fill in this pledge form, you keep the top part to remind yourself of what you've pledged, and you give the bottom part, put it in an envelope, and just put your name on it and give that to either me or Annabelle, and we'll pass that on to the bookkeepers. And then based on the pledges that we'll have, then we will know whether we can go ahead with the building project. The money may not all come in one go, but once we've got the pledges, we'll go on the basis of that. And we're going to be, over the next 3, maximum 4 weeks, we're going to keep revisiting this and updating you on where we are and filling you in a little bit. So there'll be something for the next few weeks about the building project. and there'll be some teaching on giving, which is what which we do anyway this time of year. We always have a couple of weeks where we have some teaching on giving, and then we have a couple of weeks in the autumn on giving as well. So that's not in addition. That's actually what we do around this time of year anyway. And then after 3 to 4 weeks, we're going to say, that's it. We're not going to keep going on and on and on beating the drum about money and the building project. If we've got the money by then, we will go ahead. If we haven't got the money, then we won't. It's as simple as that. I'm not going to be one of those who's going to be continually coming back and trying to squeeze blood out of a stone, as it were. We will just say, that's it. We're not going to go ahead with it. So either comes in over the next 3 to 4 weeks, or we just call it a day, and we have to rethink what we're going to do and how we're going to do things. So how can you give? Some examples of how you can give. Well, you can give a lump sum. One lump sum. We've seen lump sums there that you can give. You can take out an additional standing order to the one that you already have for your regular giving. And for that, that will just be for the building fund. So if you take out an additional standing order, be sure to put on it OCC build, so we know that that's specifically for the building. Now, what I want to emphasise here, whatever we give for the building, or if we take out another standing order, our regular giving must not be affected. It mustn't tamper with our regular giving, because we still have to operate, we still have to function. The ministry still have to go in. It costs over £3,000 a week to run Oakley. And I believe that is cheap when you look at the amount of stuff that goes on and whatever. But it costs over £3,000 a week to run Oakley. So our regular giving must not be affected. In fact, that needs to continue and increase as normal. This will be separate in addition to our ongoing regular giving that we're talking about. So any additional standing orders must be specifically for the building, but if you've already got an existing standing order where you give, that mustn't be affected. Otherwise, the whole thing collapses anyway. We have no church to run if we don't have that money coming in. We're not funded by anybody else. So you can either give a lump sum, a separate standing order for the building fund, or you can put a lump sum and an additional, a combination, a lump sum and an additional standing order as well. You can offer an interest-free loan over a period of 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, or you can offer a combination of any of the above, lump sum, loan, and standing order. All of these ways will be in your pack, so you haven't got to remember all that. That's what the pack's for. It will all have all that there. Another way that you might want to consider giving that we've done recently is your will. Legacy. We've not really talked much about that at Oakley, but many churches have benefited greatly by legacies, by people leaving them money in their wills. Greatly. I know that Cockfosters, we know down the road in Christchurch, Cockfosters benefited greatly by a legacy of £1 million a few years ago. That enabled them to plant a new church and completely renovate their existing hall for community use and hugely increase their ministries. So you may want to consider putting a percentage in your will to Oakley as part of to leave some sort of legacy behind. So there are different combinations of giving, all of which are in your pack for you to look at prayerfully at home. What am I looking at now? Okay. Okay. So friends, I just want to say, I'm going to come into land now, that these are exciting times. They're scary times, but they're exciting. This is God's blessing. This is an opportunity, probably a one-off opportunity, to give something that will echo in eternity. And it's important to know that you're not giving to Mike Pavlou. You're not actually giving to Oakley Church. You're giving to the kingdom of God. That's what you're looking to do here, to extend the kingdom of God. And we have an opportunity to do that in this next window of 3 to 4 weeks. So I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider how the Lord may be calling you to give in this way, and then to step out in faith in accordance to how you feel he has convicted you to step forward. I'm going to leave it at that, and I want to open up now for some questions that you may have. Over to you. Questions, any burning questions or anything that you're not clear of, clear about that I've mentioned in this short presentation. There's a house on the corner, for those of you who didn't hear, the corner house next to Oakley. Luke's asking about having that house. I mean, we'd love to have that house. That will probably cost over $1 million just to buy anyway, that house. So you're talking way just to buy it. That will probably be way down the line. But we'd love to have that house. We're on good relationships with a neighbour there. It's a single man. But he has no intention of selling that house. We've already asked him, not that we can afford it anyway, but we've already asked him, but he said no. We've even asked him if we could buy it. He's got two garages at the back that back onto our car park. We've asked him even to buy those two garages to enable us access from the back to give us another further option for building in the front, you know, to extend over our driveway into the car park so we can extend right over that and have the access from the back. But he wouldn't even sell us his garages. So he's got no intention of selling. He's got no intention of moving as we stand. But that will be lovely. That may be down the line. Who knows? That may be down the line. But, yeah, that will be brilliant. I've long thought that would be wonderful if we had that, the whole plot there. Money being no object would be brilliant. But there you are. Okay. Is that all right? David, you had a question?
Yeah, there was a project about 10 years ago which 100,000 was raised. And is that all used up already in this project? That's the first question. And the second question is, are you going to open up the fundraising to the community as well and make them aware of it? Because some of the people who maybe used to go to Oakley when they were kids, or some of the existing community who use it, there's a lot of organizations using the church. They might want to contribute as well, or even national organizations can. But if we made it public and clear to everyone in this community that's going on, other people can contribute as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. First question is, a previous congregation raised about 100,000 for that. That's to come to this point, it's cost us thousands of pounds already in professional fees just to come. To get to this point, and that money has come from that pot. We still have about £80,000 in that pot, so that's still there. We've used up about 20,000 over the years that have gone in professional fees and various other bits and pieces attached to the building project. But there's still about £80,000 left in that pot. With external fundraising, Becky. Is looking at, she's putting together a fundraising package which she's going to send out to various charities, etc., Christian charities and others, not lottery funds, just in case anybody was thinking we're not going anywhere near things like that. And she's going to be sending those out. She's also going to be contacting the council to see if there's any funds available for us for community use that they can offer us, and we've also there's a pot in the Church of England for renovations that she's applying for, so we're doing that in terms of trying to see if there's any external funding that we can tap into as well. That's what we're... That answer your question? Yep. Okay. Yeah, over there, Angelos. Let's have the light back on.
I thought you were leaving, Mike.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Yeah.
What's he going to say? What's he going to ask?
I'm going.
It's actually related to what David was saying. I was going to ask, are we looking at fundraising in any other ways, specifically, for instance, when we do the men's breakfast or women's breakfast, when we do fish and chips nights, quiz nights, would we be able to either say there's, you know, you can pay extra and that'll go to the building project, or just make it slightly more than it would be to kind of cover expenses and say that that's for the building project, and, you know, just as other ways of raising money. Have we thought about anything like that?
Yeah. We haven't. But then we just thought that would then, when all these events happen, they can be further down the line. They're all further down. So what it means is you're continually revisiting and going on about money for the building project, and it goes on and on and on and on. This is what St Barnabas did. They were just for about 2-3 years. They had no choice because their project was far more complex. But it was all about continually asking for money and different ways of money. And we don't want to go down that route. That's what I'm saying. We just want to say, external funding not included, but the funding from within. We're giving people 3 to 4 weeks to see what we can raise, and then we're just saying, right, well, if you haven't given by now, then you're probably not going to. It's not. If somebody in the meantime comes up with some plan, you want to run all the way to Land's End or whatever, or cycle all the way to Land's End and get a whole load of people to sponsor you and raise money for the building project that way, fantastic. If anybody comes up with a really good idea that they can raise money through sponsorship, something you're going to do, then fantastic. Go for it. Yeah, I'd encourage anybody to do that. I mean, Henry, for example, the vicar of St Bees, he went on a bike, tripod, is it? They call it a three-wheeler motorbike, all the way to Land's End on that, and in the pouring rain. And he was sponsored for that. He raised a few thousand just by doing that. So, yeah, if you can think of something that you can do to raise, that people will sponsor you and raise funds that way, that will be fantastic. But that will be for the individuals to come up with. As a church, we're not planning any sort of fundraising events as such. Joanna, did you have your hand up? Or?
You just answered it, really, because, I don't know, I just had in my mind, like, if a group of us got together and walked, say, from St Paul's Cathedral to Oakley on a Sunday morning, if we started really early and then got people to sponsor us, but you've just said that we're not coming together to do that kind
but
of...
But if somebody wants to do that and organise that, I'm saying, if people in the church, if you think this is one way, we want to do this to raise money for the building project, what we're saying is go for it. What we're saying, we here as a church are not specifically putting any sort of plan. But if anybody here has any initiatives like that, brilliant, fantastic.
There are a number of ways that if you raise money, for example, you could get the benefit of gift aid as well. So if
That's
you set
right.
up like a Just Giving page, then people who sponsor you can then pledge to give gift aid as well. So then you would get the benefit of that as well.
That's right. But see, when you're doing that, you need to target probably friends and relatives, workmate outside of the church, because the people in the church are already going to be committed to sort of giving anyway. You can't be asking them to sponsor as well, if you know what I mean. You know, so it'll have to be from folk, friends, relatives outside, if you want to do that. That needs to be the sort of pool that you're aiming for. Other questions? Mark at the back.
Yeah, hi. You said you're going to move the yellow room to the side of the building outside.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a storeroom next to it.
Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe next to that having some sort of office? You never mentioned anything about an office.
Yeah.
In there, would that be a good idea? There's a bit of space to the left of that, where you've got those lines.
Yeah.
There, yeah.
That's going to be storage.
All of it?
pretty much. Yeah, we're going to have put a door there. He's put the door there. I don't know why he's done it there.
Right.
But that door should be there, where that big window is near the stage. And then all this, we're going to just build a wooden storage unit so you can go in and out.
That little section there, could that be an office where you've got a desk, a phone, and would there be someone there on a daily basis?
It won't be enough space. Because inside here now, we'll have no storage whatsoever. So there's no storage whatsoever.
Okay, so you need to put those chairs somewhere, don't you?
Well, the chairs can remain in the hall as they are now, at the back, stacked up and left perhaps. But in terms of other storage, like, there won't be much kitchen storage there either.
No.
So parents and tots, various other things. That's the only storage area that we'll have.
Yeah.
So it's not as big as it looks there. Well, you know what it looks like, because you always do the barbecue there. But the answer is no, it won't. There won't be
an office.
There won't be enough space there. No, that's why. Right. That'll be in phase two when we build upwards.
Right.
And then...
Well, second one is these guys want to know where they're going to sit. Where are you putting them?
Initially, when we do that, then obviously we probably won't... We may not... If we've got the money straight away, we're going to put... You know, you've got the gallery here now with the PA. We're going to do the same there. Put a gallery up high so you'll be at the back there on a gallery.
Okay.
If we haven't got the money, then you'll have to start down on the floor and work your way up. We don't get the full 500 and we get 300,000. But the 300,000, if the 300,000 still enables us to create that space, then we'll probably still do it and maybe not have the soundproof barriers that will cost a significant amount. They can come later. We may not have double glazed windows. We'll have to leave that, and then maybe that can come later. We may not even put the flooring down that we need. Maybe that will come later. Because the biggest need at the moment is to have that space. But if we can't do the building work, then we won't go for it. If we can do the building work, and we can add the other bits as we go along. A bit like when you move house sometimes. You move in and you do certain bits, and then you think, oh, I won't do the kitchen now because we've run out of money. I'll do that later. I won't decorate upstairs because we've run out of money. I'll do that later. We won't put carpet down now. We'll do that in 6 months. So we'll be looking to do that maybe. So that depends on how much money comes in. If that comes in, then we'll build the gallery there at the same time as they're doing all the building works all together. And that'll go up straight away. That won't be a massive cost, actually. It's not a major cost, that gallery. So, other questions, folks? Anna over there, John?
I just felt, can I come around here so everyone's not looking behind me? This morning I got up with a real joy in my heart. And I almost couldn't contain it. I'd forgotten about this presentation at that moment. And then as I walked into Oakley to make the tea and coffee, I was just like, I was overwhelmed. I was almost like wanting to dance on my own and was really excited. Just like I was when we first came out here. When I first heard about Oakley about 18, 19 years ago, I got that same joy as I got this morning, that real excitement. And then I was walking in with Ola. Ola was helping me bring in the coffee and stuff. And he said, oh, just one milk. And I just went, oh, should have got two, shouldn't I? And I said, oh, well, God will provide. And then we started telling each other stories about... I heard a story this week about Jackie Pullinger, where she'd invited everybody... at Christmas time, where was she? Is it China?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong.
China. Was it Hong Kong, China?
She'd invited everybody over the radio or invitations that they could come to her, and she would provide us a meal and also a gift for everybody. And she said they didn't anticipate the amount of people that were going to turn up. And the workers and the helpers were saying to her, we're not going to have enough food, we're not going to have enough presents, not everyone's going to get a gift. And she said to them, stop looking, don't look in the bag, just keep putting your hand in and giving. But don't look in the bag. And I was telling Ola this, and then he said to me, or vice versa, I can't remember which one of us said the story first. Ola said that there was a man, is it in Africa, Ola?
Yeah.
Who they didn't have enough food, so correct me if I'm wrong, and for his family, but he said to his wife to just keep putting the spoon in and taking the food out, but not to look in the pot of soup. And it continued. She continued to serve daily. But as soon as she looked in, the provision stopped. And I said to Ola, oh, this must mean something. What does it mean? And as you were presenting, I just thought, that's what it is. We mustn't keep looking at what we haven't got, but just keep looking to what God's going to provide. Because God will provide it. He has not brought us this far. I feel so excited. He's not brought us this far to let it not happen. And I really feel that in my spirit. I really feel that the Lord wants this next phase. We've been planning for it. Goodness knows how many years. And he's brought us this far, and he will provide. But let's not look at what we're not going to have. We're just going to look at the God that's going to provide. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you. Just to add to that, I mean, I'm probably in many ways this morning, I'm downplaying. Because I just want to trust that the Lord will convict folk more than me sort of trying to sort of stir you up to excitement, as it were, about this. So my hope is that the Lord will convict you. I've not really tried to go overboard to sort of, give and the Lord will give, all that sort of stuff, and encourage you to sort of deliberately so. I am excited. It has gone on for many years, and this is a great opportunity to make a huge difference for generations to come, I believe. And the Lord is in this. I believe the Lord is in this. Yes.
I come from Manchester. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
I want to say I think this is the season which God is actually raising up people to...
Hello. I want to say that this is the season which God is raising up people to actually begin. You know, there's a time when Nehemiah wanted to build the house of the Lord. And he went to the king and he asked for the consent from the king. And the king gave him a decree to go out and talk to the people to see who can actually catch the vision. And the Bible talks about they all caught the vision. Amen. And they were able to build the house of the Lord. And I just want to say that this is really a season which God is pouring out his spirit to raise up a house. And as the vicar said, this is an opportunity, maybe in one lifetime, which they've never done it before, to actually put their hand into raising something for the house of the Lord. This can be done. I'm getting so excited because in Manchester there's a new church called The Ramp. I don't know if any of you know it. It's from America. This God sent this lady. She's amazing with the young adults, youth and young kids. She came here on a crusade in Manchester, and she saw all these young kids, queuing up for nightclubs. She was just overlooking her hotel, and what she saw was a multitude of young kids, and God told her to come back in a few years' time to come and start a church. And she actually came in, and she's raising up a church building. And there's another church down in Wembley. They're also raising up money for the church building. But I just want to say that this is a season. It can be done. Our kids in Manchester, in Cheshire, if you've heard of it, they've raised up lots of money for charities. What a deal. They used to walk 6 miles They'll gather a few friends of theirs and go around raising money. And they, one of them raised up £400 within a few months. And the other one, I think, about 500. And the other one's about 300 and something. It can be done. And I think for those who have £500, those who can raise up 500, the kids can do that. I wanted to ask, do you have any kids who can do that? Do you have a room for the kids?
Sorry, a room for the kids?
For children to...
Yeah, that's at the back. That's at the back.
Yeah. To raise up money.
Oh, right. No, we haven't.
Is it allowed? That. I mean, are you allowed to do that? Because with my kids, our children, they go to private schools.
Right.
And they are always encouraged to raise up money for charities. Yeah. They've done lots of charities, children need all sorts of things, and they've raised up to about £500 on their own with their friends. So if the church is allowed to do that, I think children can be very enthusiastic in those kind of things, and the young adults.
That's right. That may be something that John said. That may be something that will, thank you for that. That will put to the kids and the youth workers to see, you know, what, how can the children and the youth contribute to this? Because they're part of the whole as well. They're part of the whole family, kids' church, mini church, youth church. How they can contribute to this as well in their own small way. So in fact, I wish I'd saved it. I didn't. Many years ago, somebody, a young boy from toddler group, when we were just first talking about a building project, and the family doesn't come to the church, but a young child from toddler group gave a £5 note to the person who was running toddler group at the time, and said, "I want to give this to the building fund." He doesn't come, never came to church. Parents don't come to the church, but again, and I saved that for years, and I don't know what happened to that. I didn't spend it. But I don't know what, I think in the end I thought, I just put it in the offering, I think. I don't know what, I was going to save it for a time such as this, to say this was the, you know, from the £5 from a little boy. And I just, I don't know what happened to it. I didn't. And that touched me deeply, that this little boy gave, I mean, £5 is a huge amount of money for a little boy. So, thank you. Any other questions? Yes. Sorry. Okay, you can pray. John, do you just want to hold the mic? Can you hold the mic, John, so the lady can pray?
Up your faith again. There's a church in Manchester which didn't have any kids. The couple have been running a church for 40 years. And they've never had their own kids. And they didn't have a Sunday school. So we went into that church and we prayed and asked God for children. 2 years later, I met this lady and she came and gave me a hug. I said, "Do you remember?" I couldn't remember her. And when she reminded me, I came to a church. We prayed for children and God raised up families. And the church is actually thriving now. So I just wanted to seal this with a prayer, what I just said. And that, and the lady who just spoke earlier on, I just wanted to say to you, it is the Holy Ghost which was just stirring up. The lady was very excited and came here. The Holy Spirit is stirring up something in you and he wants to birth something. And I want to bless you with that. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and I give you praise. I come before your throne of grace and I say, Lord God Almighty, this is you speaking. Lord, I believe this is a divine appointment. You brought us here because, Lord, you want us also to be stirred up with what you are doing in this season, in due season. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you raise up young men, young people, families, children. Raise up people from all walks. Lord, even let them hear the sound when they are sleeping, that you are sending them to come here and serve with their finances. Father, I pray let there be provision and overflow. The widow of Zarephath, Lord Jesus, came to your servant Elijah. Elijah, Lord Jesus, she had absolutely nothing, Lord Jesus. But Lord God Almighty, you provide. provided. Father, they were able to live and testify today. We're talking about what you did then. You can do it again. Father, I pray that for your anointing upon each and everyone. Let it behave, let them not have any effort. Let it find it's so easy. And let it, Jesus, let it be so enjoyable. And let everyone rise up and testify the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let it be heard to the ends of the earth as a testimony for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Any questions? Caroline, over there.
It's not really a question, it's just to say, I feel stirred up too, but just to say thank you to Mike and all the leaders who have been working behind the scenes, like, and all the effort that you would have gone through to get to today, the unseen. Thank you for your work, your wisdom, your faith, your blood, sweat and tears. And yeah, we're behind you. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Caroline. Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. It's hard because sometimes, because I live this day in, day out, and I sometimes forget that you guys don't. So sometimes I speak and I imagine thinking that you just are where I am with this, you know, and you're not. So I hope that today, why would you be? You know, you're not involved in it day in, day out. Alongside. So I hope that this and the pack that you have and over any other questions that you have will help you just to sort of grasp something of the vision that we have. Planting Oakley was God's idea. It certainly wasn't our idea. I never wanted to plant a church. I never wanted to be a church leader. I never wanted to come to Oakley. That was the bottom line. But I knew that God had called me to do it. So I just stepped out and, you know, along with the other 15, and we just said, we'll go because we feel convicted to go. We haven't got a clue how this is going to happen, how it's going to work. We just don't know. We've got no money, got no experience, no training, nothing. Absolutely nothing. You've got to do it. And the Lord has done wonderful things over the past 18 years. Countless, scores of people have come to faith through the ministry of Oakley Community Church. Others' lives have been touched and transformed in different ways as a vibrant church now, alive here in this community. And we just want to see that grow and grow and grow. This isn't about us. We will come and go. You know, yeah, you'll have new leaders. We'll have new people sitting in the seats that you are now, hopefully back at Oakley. But, you know, it's not about us. It doesn't matter, does it? Because we're not doing it, you know, just for us. You know, we're doing it for the kingdom. And that's what it's all about. It's kingdom work. And we're called to do what we can at this moment in time, in the here and now, and then just trust those that we're leaving all this to continue the work further down the line and continue to grow and develop Oakley, not just in the terms of its building and facilities, but also in terms of what the church really is all about. The Lord says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we want to do just that. And this isn't the church. This is the church, you know. That's just that's a tool. That is a tool for evangelism. It's a tool for mission. It's a tool for us to be able to connect with our community at the end of the day. That's what it's about. The church is us, the body and the family. And we could just meet in a field at the end of the day if it was just about us. But it's more than just about us. It's about our community as well. And we want this to be the local hub of our community. Where everyone knows. We've got a great name in our community now, Oakley, over the last 18 years, and we want to build on that in the years to come, and we want to use the building as one of the tools for achieving that. Any other questions? Oh, offering. Talking about, yeah. Can we just take our offering round? This is for our regular members. If you're a visitor here, please just allow the basket to pass you by. Otherwise, if you're not yet giving by standing order, can I encourage you to do so if you're not? Because it helps us to plan the way forward with Oakley. Friends, I had a whole load of other things that I wanted to do, but obviously time is not allowed. Please take the packs away, read them, prayerfully consider how you can give, how the Lord may be calling you to give, fill in your pledge forms, hand them back to me or to Annabelle in an envelope, and next week we'll have an update and we'll have more teaching on giving over the next couple of weeks, as I said, and then after that we will be phasing it all out. What I just want us to do is, I think we'll finish. I had, if you're wondering what the white sheets of paper were, I was in my mind thinking, you never know how these things are going to go, but I thought if we had at least 20 minutes left over, we were going to have a little bit of worship, and then we were just going to reflect with some background music. And I was just going to ask you to write on those sheets of paper all the things that the Lord has done for you in your life, how the Lord has provided for you physically and spiritually, etc., etc., and just to make a list of all the things that God has done and provided for your life, just to sort of get you in that frame of mind. Well, if the Lord has done all this for me, then whatever I do for him is of no, you know, is just seems so insignificant, really, in the light of all that he has done for me. So that's what those papers were going to be for, but we don't have time for that. But you might want to do that when you get home in your own good time. But can we just have that final song, that "The Lord's My Shepherd," as a final song?